I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the program, we meet actor Ami Dayan, who stars in the one-man production of Conviction at New Jewish Theater. Dayan recreates the story of a Spanish priest who falls in love with a Jewish woman. Conviction is based on a true story from the time of the Spanish Inquisition. And Aaron Williams will talk with artist Chris Johnson about Question Bridge Black Males, an exhibit at the Missouri History Museum that addresses the past, present, and future of black men. But first, Jay Farrar formed the legendary alt-country music group Uncle Tupelo with friends Jeff Tweedy and Mike Heidorn from Belleville. Farrar left the band in 1994 and formed Sunvolt. And with a new album, Honky Talk, that was released earlier this month, he also has a new book, his new memoir, Falling Cars and Junkyard Dogs, Portraits from a Musical Life. Jay Farrar, welcome to Cityscape.
Hello.
Good to see you again. You were here, I think it was something like 6 years ago after your last album, was it?
Yeah, I can't remember which one, but it was many years ago at the other location.
Up north. Well, welcome to the new place.
Thanks for having me.
And, of course, people probably remember you last year from Lou Fest, although you battled the weather a little bit, didn't you?
We did. We had some of our equipment got a little rained on, and we had to kind of adjust. But, we had a good time.
That's turning into an interesting festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, your new album, Honky Talk, is different in some respects from the alt-country sound that Sunvolt is known for. It's sort of a hats-off to what they call the Bakersfield sound.
Yeah, I was drawing inspiration from a lot of country music from the 1950s and early 1960s, and, yeah, in particular, a lot of guys from Bakersfield, Buck Owens and Wynn Stewart, but also some guys that preceded that Bakersfield sound, like Ray Price. Ray Price was kind of known for using the twin fiddle sound, which is something that we got into on this recording.
And sort of something more recent makes me think of Dwight Yoakam, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, he's a little more twangy than I think your sound is, but
a little bit more, yeah. No leather pants on this record.
Well, you were kind enough to bring your guitar and your harmonica with you here today.
Yeah. You want to do a song?
Yeah. Well, how about Down the Highway?
Sure. Every road, there's a story to tell, dreams that have soared, dreams that fell, finding that level that says out of control, prospecting riches that reside in the soul. Feel this love down the highway, see where it turns. Life is a shell game, lessons lost, lessons learned. There will never be a time like the time that is now. Reach for the promise, melody on the bow. Break up the silence, make it clear, make it last. Forgiveness given, break away from the past. Feel this love down the highway, see where it turns. Life is a shell game, lessons lost, lessons learned. There's a world of wisdom inside a fiddle tune. Throw this love down the highway, see where it takes you. Escape from the past, break up the silence, make it clear, make it last. Feel this love down the highway, see where it turns.
Life is a shell game, lessons lost, lessons learned. There's a world of wisdom inside a fiddle tune. Throw this love down the highway, see where it takes you. Throw this love down the highway, see where it takes you. Throw this love down the highway, see where it takes you.
That's Jay Farrar with his group Sunvolt. They have a new CD out, Honky Tonk. This new sound that you have, didn't it partly come from, you're partly inspired, you had been sitting in, I guess, or playing with another St. Louis band that sort of...
That's right. Colonel Ford, they needed a part-time pedal steel player, so I basically, you know, became immersed in listening to this country music from the 1950s, early 1960s. You know, throughout that process of learning the pedal steel guitar. And it was a great experience. You know, I got to play out just kind of a trial by fire experience, right, of learning.
Of course, your exposure to country goes way back, I guess, to your parents originally, right?
Yeah. Yeah. My father in particular was a Hank Williams Sr. fan and, you know, Jimmy Rogers, other stuff. That was the kind of music he played.
Well, pre-Uncle Tupelo, it was the Primitives, right, when you were in high school? And from what I understand, I think you played a lot of punk back then, but at some point you began listening to country because I guess punk wasn't really big on the scene around here. Is that how it worked?
Gradually began to see that those two types of music were not diametrically opposed, you know, especially there were a lot of bands coming out of California at the time that sort of embraced elements of country music. But I think even more importantly, perhaps, was the realization that bands like the Beatles, you know, which was a huge inspiration for me. Those guys, you know, the Beatles were really into Buck Owens as well.
Huh. See, I think that would surprise a lot of people to associate punk with country.
At the time, it seemed like a logical mix.
Hmm. What's your approach to writing music, but particularly this new sound that you've got?
With this batch of songs, lyrically in particular, it's probably more of a thematic approach than I've taken in the past. You know, I kind of embrace the idea of working with a lot of the themes like love and heart and heartache and heartbreak, and just kind of took on that mindset and, you know, used that lexicon essentially and, you know, came up with this batch of songs.
How are your old fans reacting to the new twist?
With this recording, I wanted to get back to the fiddle and pedal steel guitar aesthetic that's found on the very first song of the first Sunvolt record. So I would think that it would be kind of a familiar sound to them in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, in addition to the new CD, you have a memoir out this month as well, Falling Cars and Junkyard Dogs, Portraits from a Musical Life. What does that title mean?
That's something my father, one of the vignettes in the book alludes to that, but it's just something my father used to say when he would take me to junkyards and he would be out in the junkyard looking for car parts. And I was too young to go in with him because he said there were too many falling cars and junkyard dogs.
I guess there's some truth to that. You say vignettes, that's exactly what it is. I was sort of surprised when I heard you'd written a memoir. I was thinking a more standard type of book. But it is filled with vignettes, some a page or so long, some less. That and a lot of photographs that you've taken over the years.
Yeah, I was surprised to write a book, too. You know, I've never written anything but songs and postcards. So, it just seemed like a good time to kind of reflect and take stock of where I've been and where I'm going, I guess. Uh-huh.
Where are you going, do you know?
On tour.
Right. That's going to start, what, April 1st, I think? April 1st. Well, the first thing you say in your book, the very first thing, is that you had Ozark commie parents. So that deserves an explanation.
That was just a story that my folks always talked about, as that's how they met at this high school, because my mother was teaching at the time and was kind of, sticking up for some of the concepts of communism, you know, the fact that everyone participates and no one starves in theory, but that didn't go over too well.
Well, you also said they almost got divorced over their different views of the Civil War.
I don't know if my family is unusual in that way, but yeah, you know, there was a Civil War in this country, and unfortunately my parents took different sides.
Well, they were passionate then.
Yeah.
That's for sure. In your book, it's filled with, this is so interesting, you mentioned this to me a few minutes before we started this interview, and 72 vignettes in your book, and by coincidence, your dad was 72 when he died.
That's something that I noticed when all was said and done. You know, actually there was, it just turned out that way. So I guess, certainly my father was always a mentor to me and sort of taught me to embrace music. And I guess he's still pulling strings out there somehow.
Seems like that was meant to happen maybe.
Yeah.
Well, the book also has photographs, and I was surprised to find out that these were photographs that you've taken over the years because, to me, they're so artistic.
I'm glad you like them, and that's good to hear. I don't know what to make of them. It's basically just a way to fill time when out on the road. You know, there's maybe only a few hours out of each day where you're actually playing music, and the rest is time to walk around and take photographs.
I think we learn a lot about you in this book in these little vignettes, even though they're all short. But you talk about other family members, like your father's mother, a chain-smoking woman who didn't like kids.
Yeah. there's a photo of her that starts off the book, Velma. I never really got to know her well, but, she led a hard life. So I think it's understandable that she needed some time away from kids.
Couple of other interesting little stories that really grabbed my attention. You really tell a chilling tale of a childhood friend by the name of Daniel, who had a horrible end.
I mean, that's something I wanted to touch on in the book, essentially unique experiences, that happened to me that probably did not happen to anyone else. And, you know, unfortunately, that was an experience where I lived next door to a kid that was, apparently being abused. And, it's something that I see reading the news every day, really common, similar stories to what I experienced, with that neighbor kid.
From your vignettes, I learned that you started playing in a band in sixth grade with two of your brothers.
That's correct. The Plebes, yes.
So some people, they call them garage bands, but you were like a basement band, weren't you?
It was, yeah, we did both. We had our basement was attached to a garage, so we did both. We started in the garage and moved to the basement.
And you talk about starting Sunvolt, and you give credit to a girlfriend who had a job and a credit card. Which I think is pretty honest.
Without that credit card, there would have been no Sunvolt trace records. So I think that's probably a relatively common story, too, with, just from knowing other musicians.
Yeah, that worked out, though, didn't it?
It did.
One more thing I want to ask you about from your memoir, Falling Cars and Junkyard Dogs. I think it was 1993, and when you were with Uncle Tupelo, and you traveled for, I think it was just a week, with the band Taj Mahal and Michelle Schacht.
Yeah.
And you talk about what an inspiring time that it was a short time, but it was really inspiring to you. What did that mean to you?
It meant a lot at the time. That was sort of a common occurrence in the music business where there would be these large package musical shows, and I really felt fortunate to be a part of that, especially with someone like Taj Mahal and the band that I really respected.
Mm-hmm. This is your memoir, and of course you choose the things that you want to highlight or think about. But I couldn't help noticing there's not much about Uncle Tupelo in there, and not really anything about Jeff Tweedy. And so I'm just curious, because those were both pretty important things in your life, but you don't really focus on those two things. I'm just curious about that.
There's one that's a story about you know, the early days of the Primitives playing in Millstadt, Illinois, this place called the Leader Crowns. And, you know, that was, I think the story is actually first guitar, you know, and that relates how we were actually making money at that time. And that sort of allowed us to buy pretty good instruments, you know, which, and certainly Jeff's mom was very helpful in that regard.
Uh-huh. Was this, how personal was this for you? I mean, you know, you put yourself out there writing about emotions, feelings, things that you went through. Was that difficult for you or not?
It's just something I felt had to be done, you know, at this point in my life. It's a good time to reflect. And, you know, like I said, I'd never written anything before, but I think it sort of served as cognitive medicine. You know, you really get a good idea of where you're at.
Well, I can't let you go without asking you to play something else for us. How about Wild Side?
Sure.
You're on the wild side. You're out running free. Lights are on when there's darkness. The other side is all you see. Not a worry for what comes around. We'll all be tested just the same. You're on the wild side. That will always remain. You're on the wild side. It's where you'll always be. You're living proof. Grace in this world, on the wild side, living free. What can never be taken away? Push that stone up the hill. Nothing can change your way of living. Not tomorrow, not today. Marquees don't really matter. We'll all be tested in time. I'll look for you on the wild side, through smoke and dim light. You're on the wild side, it's where you'll always be. You're living proof, disgrace in this world, on the wild side, living free. You're on the wild side, it's where you'll always be. You're living proof. There's grace in this world, wild side, living free.
Jay Farrar and Sunvolt have a new album out. It's Honky Tonk. They begin a 34-city tour beginning April 10th in Nashville, and you'll be appearing here in St. Louis at the Pageant on June the 1st. And a new memoir, Falling Cars and Junkyard Dogs, Portraits of a Musical Life. And Jay, I want to ask you one thing before you go. In your book, you say that musicians are basically cut from the same cloth as carnies. Whoever puts on the biggest freak show wins the prize.
I may have been overstating things a bit, but you know,
I'm not sure.
I grew up in a musical family, and it definitely felt like being part of the circus at times.
Well, we love the show that you put on. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jay Farrar.
Thanks for having me.
Next on Cityscape, Question Bridge, Black Males, and later, Conviction at New Jewish Theater. This is St. Louis Public Radio.